This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today is August 4th, 2008. And today I'm going to talk to you about the greatest injustice of all humanity. It's actually a sob story. You know, all of us have heard or read or seen movies about very sad love stories, tragic loss, injustice. And we've been pricked at the heart as a man or a woman or a people have suffered a tragic loss, something that they never should have experienced. But the story I'm talking about, this great injustice, this sob story, is one of God Himself, God the Father. From the beginning of time when God planted the garden and formed Adam and Eve, bless them. And they fell. They disobeyed God. They partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, being beguiled by the serpent. God was talking about the Savior, His own Son, that would come, Jesus, our Lord. And many, many centuries later, God had spoke more about this one that would come to save humanity. To the father of faith, Abraham. You know, God had promised Abraham he'd have his own son, even though it came to pass where he was many years old, almost 100 years old, and never had that promised son that God had told him he would have. God caused his wife Sarah to be pregnant, and she gave birth to a son, the promised son. And one day, illustrating this tragic story, God called Abraham to sacrifice his only son, the son of the promise, to see what he would do. And Abraham was willing to sacrifice that son because he knew that God the Father was able to raise him from the dead. And God said, stop, do not kill the son. But see, that's the story. That God only has one son. And we find out about this son, Jesus Christ. Where in the fullness of time, one was born into this woman from the lineage of King David. And he was a perfect son, perfectly obedient, fulfilling all the scripture. He loved his father. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It required that God would provide a perfect sacrifice for this sin that took place in the very beginning in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, death came upon all. God provided the Son. God continued to declare through the prophets and through the stories in the scripture about Jesus that would come. And then Jesus, as a lamb, was sacrificed for the sins of the world. Not for his sins, but for all of the sins of the world. And the tragic loss is, after God sacrificed such a great, great sacrifice, his only begotten son, he only had one. He gave it willingly so that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. We're told this in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in Acts 4, chapter 11, it talks about this Son being like a stone, which set at naught by you builders, which is become the head of the corner. In other words, when Jesus came among a religious people, the very choice headstone was rejected by them, but it's become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The tragedy is, this is the way, this is the path to God, is through his Son, Jesus. Jesus never sinned. There was no iniquity, no guile, no deceit. He was humble, he was kind, he was meek, but he was truthful and bold and dedicated and faithful. This is Jesus Christ that I'm speaking of. He came, knowing why he came, was to fulfill all righteousness and to suffer at the hands of the Gentiles and to suffer rejection by a religious people. And they would falsely accuse him, mistreat him horribly. And he was beaten to a pulp and executed, being hammered to a cross, went spit upon and shamed, mocked. He was hung before two guilty men. They were murderers and transgressors. And here's the righteous, innocent one. Do you believe this? He died for you. He died for me. He died for all the sins of the world. The Lord's not condemning you, but he's calling you to believe on this, because this is what will cause you to path from death to life. We don't deserve it. There's nothing we could do to deserve this gift. It's a gift. We don't earn it. It's by grace are you saved, through faith. It's the gift of God, lest you would boast. You cannot boast. You have nothing to glory in. You have nothing to brag about. But to humble yourself and accept this gift of love from the Father. And the tragedy is that so many people have rejected this gift. So many people have insulted the Father and said they would come to God by their own means, or not even worship God, the true God, but worship false gods. They worship the creation more than the Creator. In Romans 5, it talks a lot about sin and salvation. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all has sinned. Do you see what's being taught to us here? The scripture goes on and talks about, in verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The last verse of Romans 5, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Through this gift, we're actually created into a new creation, not like Adam that sought to be like God and died, but one that is like Jesus Christ that humbles himself and is a servant, obedient to the point of death, as in written in Philippians 2. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I stand today as a minister of reconciliation, to stand between the breach. If you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not repented of your sin and believed on this beautiful gift, be reconciled to God. Turn from your sin that leads to death. Turn unto God that you might find true life. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not recognizing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God. See, God made Christ to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The tragic loss is what the Father has given men for the most part have rejected. And what Jesus endured, the shame of that cross, the horrible treatment, not enough people have accepted this free gift. In Hebrews 12, it talks about this. Listen, wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. What that's saying is that Jesus endured the mockery, the belittling. He did that to save you, to reconcile you. It's a sad, sad, sob story that people would not receive this gift, so costly, so precious. It's an injustice. We stand for the rights of animals. We stand for the against the crime of harming a woman or children, or the injustices of religious systems that have done despicable things to children. It's wrong. The word injustice means the violation of the rights of others, unjust or unfair action or treatment. Wrong. Don't do this to God. Don't commit this injustice to God by belittling him, by rejecting his gift of his own son, Jesus. And the prophets, his own people, that should know better, that God had blessed, given them a heritage, even a house with was filled with his glorious presence. And God tells them how to live in simpleness and to please be pleasing before him. But when they would walk away from the Lord, taking the blessings of God and leaving God behind, what a tragedy. The people became foolish. They had no understanding. They had eyes, but they wouldn't see. They had ears, but they wouldn't listen. And in Jeremiah 5:22, it says this, "Don't you fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence?" And God talks how he is the one that controls the bound of the sea, the tidal waves of the ocean. He is so powerful. He is so mighty. God says, "Will you not tremble in my presence?" And the stories abound as the people of God during the time of Moses, as God came down upon the mountain, and there was lightnings and thunderings and shakings, and they literally heard the audible voice of God speaking. And a fire went forth in that day. And the people heard the words of God and saw the vision. And they were petrified. And they told Moses, "We can't bear this any longer. We'll die." And the Lord said, "The people say right. There's only one God. He's so magnificent, full of love."